Well, good morning. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. I was praying during the second song just for God to bring clarity, intentionality to what I'm going to be bringing to you today. And I was going back there, and I was like, man, I hope Chris is back there to pray with me. And then he wasn't, and I got super disappointed. And I'm like, you know what? He's already out there, so I'm going to have him pray for me because I want to make sure what God has given me today, that like it is given with clarity and that the Spirit speaks to you. And where I may not be, maybe you don't see me as direct, the Spirit will be able to speak directly to you what he needs to speak to you today, because I believe it's super important. So our summer road trip series is coming to a close today, and it's been an amazing series that we've gone through. We talked about, you know, the dangers of drifting and the detours we face along the way. We talked about how to see and hear and understand God's direction, even though sometimes it's not always direct. There might be indirect direction. And then we talked about sometimes when we go through something or we hit a roadblock or a detour, we always go to God and we say, why? But it's so important to also ask God, where, God? Where are you taking me? Where are you leading me? What are you doing in this moment? And so we've learned some lessons. And I'm praying that, you know, through this series, you've been able to apply those to your life, to whatever season you're in, whatever road trip you're on right now, whatever detour you're experiencing. And that's the thing. You know, as we go through our road trips in life, we learn lessons, right? We learn lessons about what we went through and how we can handle it next time. And it's so important for us to learn these lessons, but not just learn them for ourselves, but also to share them for others. And I think this is important for us, you know, as parents, to share these with our kids. Road trip lessons. If you're setting off on a road trip, here are some pointers as you set out. Now, I just got the pleasure of taking, you know, 21 students up to camp 2 weeks ago, and it was a road trip with students, and so there's a lot there, but you process all these things, right? And so you wanna check your tires, right? You wanna make sure oil's changed. You wanna make sure you have a full tank of gas. That's more of me, like, I don't wanna stop, so let's make sure we have as much gas in the tank so we don't have to stop. Go to the bathroom. This comes from having kids. Go to the bathroom before we leave. We'll say that 18 times. We'll ask when they get in the car. No. And go to the bathroom. Again, I don't want to stop 5 minutes down the road. And then I think one of the things, this was important for last week, but for our road trips, we've got to be mindful of time changes, right? If we cross over into a different time and we're expecting to arrive this time and we arrive later or earlier. So that's important. Allow time for rest stops and eating. So if you're planning a trip and you want to be there at a certain time, you got to allow time for rest stops and eating. Now, if you're smart, you can do them both at the same time, right? If you can do the rest stop, the eating, and the gas, all really just maximize your time. That's what I like to do. Don't continue to drive while you're tired. I talked about that, about asking for help. Know the route you're going to take. You ever been going somewhere and your GPS signal is lost and you were like just following that thing blindly and then you're like, crap. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where to go next. So, you know, knowing the route. Pack things to do and keep you busy. Again, coming from kids and teenagers, right? So they're not asking you every 2 minutes, are we there yet? And avoid, this is the most important one, avoid bathroom stops at janky rundown gas stations. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We were on our way to camp, and we had just stopped, and we were, like, almost there. It was probably, like, 40 minutes, and I get a text or a Marco from somebody saying one of the kids had to stop. And we're going through, like, these back roads, and I'm like, no. First of all, we have 21 students. If I take one, they all want to go. And I'm like, there's one bathroom, and it is going to be dirty, right? And so I'm trying my best not to stop. But that's one of the things I've learned, man. I avoid those gas stations at all costs. You find the really nice ones. We stopped at a Busy Bee, right? That was really nice. Rest stops were really, anyway. So those are some lessons that I learned. But here's why I share all that. First, just to get you laughing and to have some fun. But also to talk about the importance of taking the lessons we've learned and teaching them to the next generation. Yes, on road trips that we take. Yes, in life lessons, but most importantly, it's teaching them the lessons of how to live their life holy and set apart and live for God. And we have to teach them. Over the last month, I got a chance to go to a denominational conference with church leaders and pastors, and also at camp, there was just this overarching theme of stepping into serving, into calling, and into making disciples, right? And leading within the local church. And just the reality of that for people to step in to the need to answer those calls, to serve, to lead. Even the calling of preaching and teaching the gospel within the local church. And so our road trips can prepare us for the next one, but they're also meant to help us prepare those who come after us. So let's take a quick look. We've been going through, Exodus with Moses and the Israelites and their road trip through the wilderness. And let's take a look at what Moses learned on his road trip. First, we see that God called Moses to serve. God said, hey, I need you to serve me and serve my people. Go to Egypt, go to Pharaoh, and tell him, let my people go. And then through Moses, God did miraculous things, right? And so he's serving. And then God says, Moses, you're also going to lead. I need you to lead these people out of Egypt. I need you to lead them through the wilderness, and I need you to lead them into the promised land. So he's serving and he's leading. And in the midst of all of it, not before, in the midst of all of it, Moses learned a lot. And he didn't have all the training beforehand. He didn't know all the details of all the things that were going to happen before he stepped into serving and leading. But as he stepped into serving and leading, that's where God equipped him for what he called him to. So he learned a lot. He learned about God's character. He learned about God's power. He learned about the difficulty of leading. He learned about the sacrifice of serving God. He learned to rely on God. He learned to rely on others. He learned about God's provision, especially in the midst of impossible things. He learned how to lead. But one of the things that I saw in the midst of all of this is Moses learned how to mentor and raise up a new leader. And that was Joshua. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But again, just reiterating this, it is so important that as we experience our road trip, that we teach others along the way. Because our experiences, they're not just meant for us. Yes, they are for us to grow, to learn, and to become more like Christ. But they're also meant for other people to come alongside us so we can teach them what we learned. So as we go on these road trips with God, he will mold, shape, and equip us through serving. So here's what I want to share with you. A call to lead is first a call to serve. You want to lead? Start serving. And in your serving, God will equip you to lead. So a call to lead is first a call to serving, but ultimately it's a call to make disciples, especially within the realm of the local church. That's what we're all called to. We're all called to make disciples. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to make disciples. As a matter of fact, you're also called to serve. And so that means on our road trips, we are meant to serve, lead, and make disciples. On the Exodus road trip, God gave a command to his people that parallels Jesus's command in the New Testament to us and for us on our road trips. So I want to give it to you, two of them. Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to give you 5-7. And some of you might know this. This is the Shema. And so here's what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So you see it there. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. All these things, teach them diligently. And as you go, wherever you're at, man, live them out. So there's living them and there's teaching them. No matter what, we're doing this. Matthew 28, ready? 19-20, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Do you see the similarities? What is it? Learn my ways. Live my ways. Teach others. And do it again. And do it again. And do it again. Grow more into the likeness of God's character and into the likeness of Jesus and teach others the same and tell people about Jesus and tell people about what he's done. It's so important that we learn how to live this life, but then we take what we learned and we teach it to others and raise them up Call them in the serving. Call them in the leading. Mentor them. Disciple them. You know, a key component from them wandering in the wilderness to conquering the promised land was Moses teaching, training, mentoring Joshua. You see, long before we get to the book of Joshua in the Bible, you will find Joshua by Moses' side at very key moments. I want to share just a few of those. One I've already shared with you. It was in Exodus 17. It was the Battle of Amalek, where Moses was holding his arms. Aaron and Hur were next to him. And then who was down fighting and leading the way? It was Joshua. In Exodus 24, Joshua was with Moses when he was receiving the Ten Commandments. I want to read this one to you because it's maybe something that you kind of are like, really? I didn't see that. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there so that I may give you the stone tablets with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua and went up to the mountain with God. Man, imagine being Joshua in that moment and just getting to witness and see that take place. Powerful stuff. Exodus 32, he witnessed the Israelites as they come down the mountain. He witnessed the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. And I kind of see it as Joshua kind of following behind Moses and just seeing the posture, the demeanor of Moses change and the frustration, the discouragement. And he shared in that with Moses as he threw down the stone tablets. Exodus 33, he got to witness firsthand God speaking to Moses in the tent of meeting. Numbers 13, you want to know who led the way in scouting out the promised land? It was Joshua. You want to know when they came back who gave a positive report and said, surely we can do this because God is by our side? It was Joshua. And then we get to Numbers 27. Joshua is appointed and anointed to take the helm of leadership for Moses. This I want to read to you. Numbers 27, verse 15. So Moses appealed to the Lord. May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them, come back in before them, and who will bring them out and bring them in so that the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord replied to Moses, take Joshua, a man who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the whole community, and commission him in their sight. Confer some of your authority on him so that the entire Israelite community will obey him. Verse 22, Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua, had him stand before Eleazar the priest, and the entire community laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord had spoken through Moses. And you see this beautiful transition and succession. And there's a leader that is there, but a servant was only ready to lead because Moses had taken time to invest in him. And here's the other important key. Joshua was only ready to lead because he was first willing to serve. And it's so important. And you get into the book of Joshua, and you begin to see them conquer and take the promised land. And so we have the wilderness road trip. It's led by Moses. You have conquering of the promised land. It's led by Joshua. After that, they find themselves leaderless. Now, within the context of Joshua and them taking the land and conquering the land, you don't see anything happening there where Joshua is doing for someone else what Moses did for him, the mentoring, the raising up, all that. Whether or not it happened, we don't see it in the Bible. So what happens is the Israelites find themselves on a new road trip of suffering, of shame, of hiding, of cowering, of fear, of pagan worship, and ultimately just living in disobedience to God. And so we enter into Judges. Judges chapter 2, here's what it says, verse 8. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance. Verse 10, that whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors. After them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. It's a pretty poignant statement in verse of Scripture. There was no one to teach them. There was no one to lead them. There's no one to show them. And they forgot about the Lord and his word and his commands and his ways and his character and his power and his miracles, and they walked away from it. And I know you're not blind to it, and I'm not blind to it, but guess what we see happening in our country today? It's because people aren't willing to step up to serve and to lead and to preach the gospel. And I for one, don't want to get to my kids' kids and have them know nothing about Jesus or following Jesus or living for Jesus or getting caught up in the idol worship that takes place all around us in our communities. We have an obligation to prepare the next generation for the road trips that God calls them on. Yeah, what we're going through is hard. Yeah, we deal with difficult things. But you know it, and I know it. For our kids, for their kids, it's only going to be worse. And they need a faith to stand on. And they need to know about Jesus. They need to know about the character of God and the love of God. And it's our job to teach them. I'm not just talking to parents. As a Christ follower, it is our job to teach them about Christ, to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples, to raise leaders up, to go and plant churches, and to preach the gospel, to serve in churches. It's so important. Now don't get me wrong, God was still there. But they had no one to continually challenge them and remind them of worshiping and serving and obeying God, like Deuteronomy 6 said. Every road trip comes to an end. And that means during it, we must prepare ourselves and others for the next one. We're at the end of summer. We're all in the hustle and bustle of getting ready for what's next. We made it through the busy, lack of routine mess of summer. Yes, we enjoyed vacations and trips and time together, and there was growth and there was challenge and there was loss and there was change. And I hope we did some learning, and I hope we did some growing. In the midst of it, we got to prepare for what's next. You know, at our church, man, it's been a phenomenal summer for us. We did our first ever VBS, and it was just amazing, right? 50 kids were here. We raised over $1,000 for Echo Ministry. Then we took 21 kids to camp, and they had a mountaintop moment. And it was phenomenal to see, and we got to hear from them last Wednesday and just see their relationships together and the relationships God begin to flourish and grow. We got to bless Echo Ministries, both just through our clothing drive and also financially. We got to bless the mission of Winter Haven. We still are, both financially and through food. One of the things that was so interesting, and I was just talking to my buddy Lynn. I was like, man, I haven't seen you all summer. And I feel like I've been out. But did you know that in the middle of summer, we had our largest non-holiday attendance that we've ever seen at our church? 360 people, over 100 kids in the kids' ministry. Yeah, I mean, pray for them, you know what I'm saying? And so it's been amazing. Last Wednesday, we had 40 students on a Wednesday night. Now, God is working and moving, and what we're seeing is that people are hungry for the word, and they're hungry for God, and they're hungry to step into a purpose and a calling and a serving him and sharing with him. And so here's what we noticed. And we've seen this at the beginning of the year as a church, that God is working and moving. And if we don't make changes, we won't be good stewards of it. And so we're making some changes from the top down. Asking more of our staff. Requiring more time of our staff. Because we have more and more people who are coming in who are looking to be discipled, who are looking to be mentored, who are looking to be equipped to serve and to love and to also make disciples. And so that means it's going to require more from us. And so we're taking steps on staff. But what it also means is that it might require a step from you to step in and to serve and to love and to give and to lead and maybe even answer a call to go and preach the gospel, whether it's here or in another church or a church God calls you to lead. It is so important that we are just observant to what God is doing in us and around us. And that we don't just watch and sit back idly in the stands, but we get involved with what he's doing. Because it is the greatest work we could ever do here on earth and for all of eternity. And so a new road trip awaits. Are you ready to enter into it? What did you learn on your last road trip? Who are you serving, leading, and mentoring? Are there changes you need to make? Are there difficult conversations that you need to have? Is there coaching, teaching, rebuking that you need to do? Are there habits that you need to remove? Are there lessons that you've learned that you need to share? Share with your friends. Share with your family. Share with your kids. Listen, God continues to be given glory long after we are gone when we are obedient to disciple, to shepherd, to invest, to mentor, and to call the next generation into his kingdom work. That is the greatest work we could ever do. And we see it from Moses to Joshua, and all of God's promises come true. And they enter into the promised land and they receive their inheritance, but then there's a miss. And they enter into a time of suffering. And I don't want to see that for your family. I don't want to see that for my family, whether it's the next generation or the next generation. So we got to make sure that we're stepping out to lead. If there's a problem, they'll let us know. All right. So we're all called to serve. I already shared that. Some will be called to lead. A few will be called into preaching and teaching the gospel. By the end of the day, there is an immense need for all of us to make disciples. And so continuing God's kingdom work, it requires people to serve, lead, and answer the call to preach the gospel. And I've seen that take place, and I was trying to think through as many examples as I could give you, but one just kept coming back to me. And it's our kids director, Kim Masson. And let me share the journey just really briefly. Because Kim Masson, you could ask her, did you ever think that you would be the leader of kids ministry at a church one day? That you'd be on staff? And she will tell you hands down, no. But you know what she started doing? Years ago, she stepped in to serve in kids ministry and to give her all to kids ministry and to be a champion of that kids ministry. And from there, she was able to step into the role of kids ministry director. And then through that, again, she was so humbled and just so blown away that we would even ask her. But through it, the calling that she didn't think she was equipped for, she has learned and has led and has served and has become a phenomenal kids ministry director, where she is now encouraging, equipping, and mentoring new leaders, classroom leaders, young leaders. But more than that, she's also doing the same for our children. It starts with serving. There's a young man in our church who serves in both kids ministry and in movement. His name's Cole. He went with us to camp as a leader, a young leader. And just seeing his passion and his desire, first and foremost, he's been learning and growing in Christ. And then he has stepped into these roles that you could probably ask him that he still doesn't feel prepared or equipped for, but he's learning. And God's challenging him in new ways. And I haven't told Cole this, but I believe God is calling him into full-time ministry. I didn't want to freak him out, but you know, sometimes you have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Man, because the thing God, he calls us into, we can't do on our own power and our own wisdom. It has to be him. Because if it's just us, well, it's just us. But if it's God, it's miraculous. And what he does in us and what he does through us is so much more than we could ever hoped or dreamed. But it starts with serving. It starts with taking that first scary, unknown step into something that we honestly don't have the first clue of how to do it. But we're hoping that someone will teach us and train us and help us and guide us. And that's happening for Cole. And that happened for Kim. And it can happen for you. And there's, listen, I chose two people. Again, there are so many stories like that all throughout our church and all different ministries. This is my story, guys. At my last church, I stepped in to serve in presentation. That was what I knew how to do. That is what I knew I was good at. That is what I went to school for. And I did good. And I started serving in youth ministry. I started leading and going to the camps with them and being a group leader. And they gave me a few opportunities to speak on stage. And then there was this opportunity to be the youth pastor. And I was like, no way. Can't. Again, it's a crazy thing to be the guy in the back that no one's looking at to go up on stage and preach God's word. Because it's a heavy burden and it's a heavy calling. But I said yes. And to this day, I'm still learning to be the leader, to be the pastor that God has called me to be. And I'm still making mistakes, but I'm learning from them. And along the way, I'm trying to help people and teach people and mentor people to do the same. It's so important, but it was through my serving that I heard and was equipped for my calling. And I think that's what's so important. Serving is for all of us, and through it, God can reveal our specific calling. And answering the call to serve, answering the call to lead, answering the call to step in to preach the gospel will look different. Answering the call to make disciples, it'll look different for all of us. But it just starts somewhere simple. Maybe it begins with you serving in kids in movement. Maybe it's taking what you know, maybe the gifts that you have, to join the presentation team or the worship team or one of our many other teams. Maybe it's a call to foster care and adoption. Because let me just tell you, that is a call from the Father to step in and to love and to sacrifice. Maybe it's a call into full-time or part-time ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel. Maybe it's a call to missions, whether it's local or international. It's going to look different. But the key component is, will you be willing and obedient to step in? Not to go and say, hey, I want to lead this thing. I want to be in charge of this thing. But first, I'm going to serve. And I'm going to learn. And through my serving and through my learning, God's going to equip me for what he has for me next. God is already working. God is already moving. He's doing that in our church. He's doing that in our community. And so the reality is our calling requires us to step into the places that God is already working and moving. He doesn't need us to do a new thing. He just needs us to join him in what he's already doing. To be obedient to step into that. To say yes to step into that, even if we're scared. Even if we're worried, even if we have anxiety about it, God is moving and drawing people into our local church. And the more he does, the more he will call people into serving and leading. Maybe that's already been happening for you. Because we need it. We need more people leading and teaching our kids in kids ministry. We need more people leading and mentoring our youth. We need more people stepping in with the specific skill sets and talents they have all across this church. And that's the case in every church. Every church that is being obedient to the word of God, in both word and deed, God is working and moving, and he's calling people to join him in it. I stepped into serving, as many have before me and many after me. I stepped into leadership and ultimately full-time ministry, as many have before me and many after me. I have and continue to be obedient to teach God's ways to my children and also to making disciples and baptizing and teaching all that I've come to know and learn about Jesus. And again, at the end of the day, you say, well, that's your role, that's your job, you're a pastor. But serving and making disciples is the call of every Christ follower. Every Christ follower. And so maybe that's something you need to wrestle with. You say, I don't know what that looks like in my context. I don't know what that looks like in my job. Every single person who calls on the name of Jesus is called to live the life that he lived. And what do we see Jesus doing? Serving and making disciples. It's so important. I'm gonna ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to step into a moment now where you get an opportunity to respond. And the question becomes now, like, we're called to live, we're called to serve, we're called to lead and make disciples. What about you? Who are you discipling and mentoring? Who are you serving under and learning from? What steps do you need to begin to take now so that you can be serving, leading, or even step into a calling? Are you serving? Are you leading? Are you doing your part to make disciples? Listen, I know, and I remember all the reasons that come to mind as to why we can't. First one for me, I don't feel ready. Maybe I don't feel spiritually ready. Maybe I don't feel spiritually mature enough. Or maybe it says, you know what, I need to wait until this current season or this difficult road trip is done. And once this current season and difficulty is done, well, then I'll step into it. I still have learning and growing to do. And once I get to a place where I feel like I've learned and grown, then I'll step into it. I need to have more financial stability. I need to make sure that I'm debt-free. I need to make sure that I'm making this much income. Then I'll step into it. You know, my schedule is so crazy right now. And when that frees up, then I'll step into it. Maybe when my kids are older. Maybe when I'm more spiritually mature. If we wait until we're ready, there's a good chance we will never be. And God doesn't come to us saying, oh, look, this is the perfect time. They seem so ready to step into this, so now I'll call them to it. Moses was a shepherd on a mountain, and he had run from his mistakes, and God came to him and said, hey, go and serve and lead my people. And Moses was terrified, but he stepped into it. And it changed the trajectory of many generations. This call, this life that we're called to live in Jesus, it is too urgent for us to wait until we're ready. So if God calls you now, is prompting you now, and don't wait. And here's the beautiful thing. And here's what I've experienced, all those reasons why, all those things that I thought I had to wait. Man, as I've stepped into God's calling, into serving, into leading, into all of it, I have seen him answer any of those problems. I have seen those reasons begin to dissipate, and because God is greater than all of them. Has it been tough? Yeah. Oh, goodness, if you think it won't be tough, then, oh, you got something else coming, but it's because of God and his power and his strength and his wisdom and the spirit that he gives us that we are able to overcome. So I don't know what reason you would say today that I can't. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have time, this is too much, I'm too overwhelmed. Do you think God doesn't know that? Do you think God doesn't see that? He said to Moses, who made your mouth? Everything you have, everything that you are is because of him. And everything that we are, we owe to him. Our life, our love, our salvation, it's all to him. And we owe it to the next generation to step in and make sure that we are teaching others about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. God, continue to work and move in this place with your Spirit. I pray for every single individual today. I pray for every family today. I know what they're going through. I've read their prayers. I know that they're struggling. I know that there's hurting. I know that there's change and transition and turmoil. And the reality is we live in a lost and broken world. And so what better place to go to than you? What better place to look to than in you? What better place to find peace and joy and rest than in you? The very thing that they think will send them over the top and they will be super overwhelmed may be the very thing that brings peace and calm and joy and purpose to their life. And the things of this world, the burdens of this world, we place on Jesus and he gives us rest. God, may we be a people of action. Not just for us, but for our kids and their kids and their kids. May we be unrelenting in learning your ways and living your ways and teaching your ways to them. Today, if that is you, every head bowed, every eye closed, here's what I want to challenge you to. So you know what? I would like to start serving. I would encourage you to fill out a next step card and let us know. If you would say, I want to start leading in a capacity that I'm already serving in, I'm feeling God calling me, then let us know on the next step card. Or reach out to your ministry director. Here's the last thing. If you're here today and you feel a call on your heart that God says that he is calling you into full-time ministry of preaching or teaching the gospel. Doesn't matter what it looks like or how it's done or where it's done, but God is calling you to step into preaching the gospel. I just want you to take a next step card today and write, answer the call. And I want to begin to go down that path with you. God, we are your church, and we are your people, and we have been commissioned, all of us, to tell people about your Son, Jesus Christ, and we need each and every person here to do that, to learn about you, to live out your ways, to teach and mentor and disciple the next generation. And starting today, would you begin to stir in our hearts? Would you begin to move in our lives? Would you begin conversations with our spouse, with our family, with friends about what that looks like so we can continue the amazing kingdom work that you have allowed us to be a part of? Thank you for speaking today. Thank you for your clarity today. I'm humbled to be your servant. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.